Welcome to At the Organ, a weekly show about the classical organ and its music, heard on organlive.com every Sunday or streaming from our website anytime. Just point your browser to attheorgan.com for more information. Now, let's hear what's happening this week at the organ.
Hello and welcome to At the Organ. My name is Brent Johnson, and on today's show we have an interview with American Guild of Organists National President Eileen Gunther. Eileen was elected president of the organization in 2008 and is only the third woman to hold this position in the Guild's 115-year history. She is also associate professor of church music at Wesley Theological Seminary and professional lecturer in music at the George Washington University. In just a month, the Guild will hold its biennial national convention, this year in Nashville, Tennessee. We began with talking about this year's convention.
It's going to be a magnificent convention in Nashville, beginning July 1st and going through the 6th. Wonderful instruments, great spaces, terrific performers. Their symphony hall is magnificent, and there's a conductor there who likes the organ and is thrilled with having such a fine instrument there and using it for the convention. So we're really excited about that.
What goes on at an AGO convention for someone who's never been to one?
It's a plethora of music-related events. They're workshops to help you hone your skills, and they are focused on all levels, from folks who don't have a lot of training to people who are highly skilled already and want to just refine some aspect of their art. There are anthem reading sessions, there are worship services, recitals, sometimes just organ, sometimes with choir, with instruments, and of course, you know, a large concert hall has the large concert hall with the Nashville Symphony, which just won a Grammy, and it's a magnificent orchestra as well.
What's the organ like there in the symphony hall?
It's great. It's a wonderful acoustical space and just a great place to hear music.
And their organ is restored now after the flood?
Everything is put back together. The pipes were not injured at all. It was some water in the room where the blowers are and so forth. But everything is perfect. We were there last October, and it was all fine.
What is the purpose of the AGO in today's world for an organist or a church musician or a clergyman?
That's also a good question, because we are now refining our mission statement to broaden it a little bit from what it has been. But increasing awareness of the instrument and what it can do, its power in the concert hall as well as in a church or synagogue space. Encouraging new young organists. Probably the best thing that the Guild does is called pipe organ encounters. And over the past years, we've introduced over 2,000 young people to the organ. It's folks that all, you know, kids age 13 and up that have some piano skills already. And they can come for multiple years and work on repertoire with artist teachers. It's relatively inexpensive for them. The Guild subsidizes it, and individual chapters who host also find financial backing, so that helps keep the costs down. And it's just the best thing ever in terms of introducing young people to the organ.
And pipe organ encounters are held in various chapters around the country each year?
Yes. I'm not sure how many are this year. It's a bit of a moving target, but it's usually around 8, 9, 10. And there are regular pipe organ encounters. There are POE Plus for young folks who have already, you know, worked hard at their skills. There's one for adults, and from time to time there has been one for the tech world, so that people who would like to learn how to care for instruments, organ, not necessarily build organs, but you know, service them, can learn some of those skills. And there's lots of organs in the country, and they need servicing.
What about education? What does the AGO do as far as organist education in today's world?
The AGO is focused on chapters, and chapters have programs throughout the year, sometimes as much as once a month, sometimes a little bit less, according to, you know, the geographic area and where people live, how far they have to travel, and so forth. And education is our a prime goal. We were founded as an educational organization in 1896. We work at that at the chapter level, as well as regional and national conventions, and we certify our members. There are several different levels of certification in terms of service playing, AAGO, which is an associate, FAGO, which is a fellow, that's the highest, and also choir master certificate that people prepare for, and it's a study component that sometimes they work with the teacher, sometimes they study on their own. It's both writing and practical at some of the exams, and was all started before there were places to go to music school. When the people who started the AGO wanted to raise the level of church music and organ performance, and that was how they chose to do it.
Let's talk about that for a moment. If somebody is interested in AGO certification, what is that process, the testing process itself, like?
Each exam has a different way that the testing happens. Some of them are tape only. Some of them are writing and performance. And they can go on the AGO website, which is agohq.org, and go to the education button and find out more. We are actually working at getting some of this to happen online. Well, there's much more that we can do, and we're working. I mean, one of the things, if you don't mind my moving to it, is we'll be voting in Nashville on a reconfiguration of the Guild in terms of governance structure, and part of that is because we can do things in a way that we never could before. And meetings, you don't have to fly to a meeting, which is expensive in a time sense as well as in a money sense, and we can do a lot online with web conferencing and so forth that is just better stewardship all the way around.
As you're starting your third term as president of the AGO, what changes have you seen thus far, and what do you still want to accomplish?
I'm very interested in broadening the base of inclusivity. I'm interested in hospitality, in attracting more members and more, a diverse population. I'm interested in increasing the profile of the Guild. We have exams, as we've just talked about, and they will have more meaning when more people know what the Guild is about, what it stands for, what these exams, what do you do to get there? And without that PR piece, we are just not able to be as effective an organization.
I hear it from a lot of people, and I would say this would be just St. Louis, but I've certainly experienced it online from hearing it other places, that people go to an AGO meeting and it's just not friendly. It's not a warm group of people. Is that true to organists, or is it something in the AGO? Where does that come from, and why do I hear it from so many places?
I don't know why you hear it. I wish you didn't. But that's been one of my mantras, if you will. I've written about it a lot in my column in the American Organist on a monthly basis. I don't write about that on a monthly basis, although I probably could. And I don't actually get it. I think maybe it's rooted in the fact that we talk to people we know because that's where we're comfortable. And at a meeting, we see people that we might not have seen since the last meeting or the meeting before if someone missed. And so there's a sense of small town catching up at the local post office or the grocery store kind of thing in an urban area or in a smaller area. And I think it's not hostility. I don't think it's even elitism. I think it's just that people talk to people that they know, and that's probably a natural human condition that I'm trying to counter, because I think it's important that we all feel welcome. I'm not going to say that we're an endangered species, but we are certainly a minority, and I think knowing and supporting each other is one of the things that people who are part of a guild do.
So what would you tell an up-and-coming new organist who's trying to fit in a new community and a new guild chapter and having trouble working his way in the door?
I would probably suggest that they introduce themselves and not be shy about that. One of the things that I find is sometimes people expect other people to come to them and don't meet them halfway across the aisle. So I would say introduce yourself, get names, get a few email addresses or access that if you join the chapter, then of course you have access to the directory. Contact people, go to their concerts, talk to them afterwards. If you are new and not well known, it's probably, I would say it's an 80-20 thing, and you probably need to make about 80% of the effort for a while.
Can you detail the process that led you to become president of the AGO? How does this national leadership trail happen?
I chaired a national convention in Washington, D.C., and I think I probably, there was a certain amount of visibility from that and working with the people at the national office. And I was nominated to the council then and served on and off in various capacities for like the next 20 years. I was 4 at the time, so that, just in case you're wondering the age thing. And you can serve 6 years. I think you can probably serve a little bit longer, but I served a 6-year term and then would take off one term and then came back in another capacity, and people kept inviting me to participate. I think I have a fair amount of creativity and ideas and work pretty well with people. And so it wasn't a straight projection. I was on and off. I was vice president and off for a little bit and then nominated as president. And
what would you tell up-and-coming AGO members that might have an interest in that sort of leadership role, either locally or nationally? What's a good process to lead to that?
I think attending chapter events for sure, and regional conventions and national conventions, getting to know the other people. All the people at national office are nominated by a national nominating committee, which is not part of the regular, any of the other governance of the guild. They are separate. And you can offer your services, and people may suggest you, and they look all around. But it usually starts with a chapter leadership, maybe something with a convention, regional convention, a national convention, if you happen to be living in a city where that's hosted. And just, you know, getting to know people, you know, showing that you have a devotion to what the guild is about, and it's not about us. I mean, it's not me for me. It's me for what I can do that helps the greater good of the organization. I think the Guild may sometimes be looked at as an elite organization. Back 1,000 years, it wasn't 1,000 years ago, but a while ago, you used to have people that would have to sign for you to certify that you were an upstanding person worthy of being a member of this organization. And I think that gave us just a not very helpful image. I will do denominational events, and someone will say, oh, you know, I'm a member of this denominational organization, but I'm not good enough for the guild. And I respond quickly, yeah, you are. There is no qualification except wanting to associate with the people that are part of the organization and probably concomitantly wanting to be around organ music and choral music and the people that do it. So I would encourage chapters to always invite people at whatever events they have to access the AGO website, which is free if they don't want to actually start joining right away. I encourage chapters to publicize their events. I think that recitals, anything that, maybe an education preparing for exams might not be the sort of thing you'd invite the public to, but I think we do a whole lot more than the public at large knows about. And to get the word out is to all of our benefit. All the way around.
For someone who's not an AGO member, doesn't understand or doesn't have any experience with the leadership in the organization, how is the Guild organized both nationally, regionally, and locally?
We have approximately 320 chapters around the country, tiny chapters, large chapters, major urban areas, rural areas, and we have international chapters, Argentina, Korea, there's a European chapter. We have an affiliation with the RCCO in Canada. And so that's the basis of the organization. Chapters elect officers, hold meetings, have programs, conduct competitions. I haven't even talked about the competitions, which there are local competitions that will lead to a regional, and the regional winners will be presented at a national convention called Rising Stars. And then there's a national competition in both improvisation and organ performance. So doing, again, it's just highlighting the talent and giving people a chance to show what they can do. And perhaps if a concert career is something to which they aspire, that's a bit of a stepping stone. So we've got chapters. We elect a representative from each of the 9 regions, although we are proposing that we will slim ourselves down a little bit to 7, not that we will be any smaller in terms of chapters or memberships. We hope that will grow. But just in terms of uniting, a couple of states are divided, and there's some kind of gerrymandered boundaries that we're hoping to make a little bit more sense out of. We have 4 national officers, president, vice president, secretary, treasurer. We have several counselors, and we have the 9 regional representatives all on the national council. So that's the governing board. We're actually proposing that that be slightly reconfigured, but since we haven't voted on that, I'd probably not want to go into too much detail right now. And that's the organization of the Guild. We have a headquarters office in New York at 475 Riverside Drive, just across from the Riverside Church. People still, as recently as that last night, say, you know, how often are you in New York? Do you live in New York? No, none of us live in New York. We have a headquarters staff of approximately 7 people. The magazine is done by an editor who is in Albany, New York. One of the copy editors is in Texas. You know, I think we probably do need an office someplace. New York is where we have been. It's where we're chartered. Whether we stay there forever or look at someplace else, I mean, that's always a possibility. But right now, that's where the headquarters is. We have an executive director, James Thomas Schauer, who lives up by West Point and commutes into the office every day, and several other people that are there that help us with the running of the organization. But we are a volunteer organization. I think, was it last year, I counted up, and there were something close to 1,700 people who are volunteers, whose names and emails we have, who serve in a variety of capacities. Between the chapters and the national organization, we also have state and district conveners, which help in the connectivity. And it's a very bottom-up organization. There are some organizations that are top-down. We are very populist.
Tell me again, this is something I don't know about the Guild. What exactly is the responsibility of the conveners, and how do they function?
They function usually by getting deans together, talking about programming, addressing issues that they have in common, and connecting on an organizational level that is higher than the chapter level, but not as macro as the national level.
So their responsibility is more or less as a facilitator.
Precisely.
Of communication. I know with 320 chapters, you have the country pretty well blanketed. However, I've seen that there are, for instance, university chapters for a university that has a large organ program. If I wanted to start a new chapter in my university or in my town because there's not one close, what is that process possible?
It is not only possible, it's really easy. It's a petition. I think it needs to be signed by 5 or 7 people, something like that, sent to the national office. It'll probably get bumped back to the regional counselor, and then the sort of facilitation process will happen. But it's not a big deal to do. And one of the real treasures of membership, whether it's, you know, regardless of the size of the chapter, is being able to receive the American Organist, which is I think it's a wonderful journal. We have been in color since September, and that is so exciting because the difference between black and white and color is just unfathomable. It's so huge. And the editor, Todd Sussley, does a wonderful job of making it appealing just to read what the chapters are doing. Every month, I'm just completely blown away by their creativity, by their energy, by the number of people that are involved in the enterprise of organ and choral music. We are the largest organization, international organization, of people who do what we do, musicians who play the organ, direct choirs. We're not religious, but the church is our principal employer.
That's all the time we have for today, but come join us next week for the remainder of this interview with AGO President Eileen Gunther. We talk about her job at Wesley Theological Seminary and her new book. At the Organ is, of course, produced by us here at the Organ Media Foundation. If you would like to help support this free podcast, please visit the Foundation's website at organmedia.org, where you can donate via PayPal. Remember, on attheorgan.com, you can leave comments on today's show or find previous episodes. Many of our episodes from 2011 are still missing, but they are returning. On our site, you can also find links to our Twitter feed and our Facebook page, where we post daily updates on events from organ history. Production of At the Organ is also assisted by Pro Organo, where the organ lives. Visit their website at proorgano.com to see the complete catalogs of CDs and videos of organ music. Thanks again for listening, and I'll meet you here next time at The Organ.
You've been listening to At the Organ, a weekly look at the art and music of the classical organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this week's show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the Foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet you here next week at The Organ.